Yeah, I know it sounds fake, but that's what the analysts are saying. And here's the moral of the story for me. We are living through the most heavily subsidized era of AI that will ever exist. Right now, today, we are getting more compute for less money than we ever will again. Future developers are going to look back at 2024 through 2026 and say, you were paying $20 a month for that? Hey there, rubber ducklings. Welcome back to the show. I'm Tim Williams.
I'm Paul Mason, episode 15. I can't believe we've done 15 of these without getting canceled yet.
That's a low bar, but we'll take it. So, Paul, how's the week been? You surviving out there in the Seattle AI trenches?
Yeah, you know, it's been one of those weeks. I've been deep in a Codex workflow refactor, like the kind where you think it's going to take an afternoon and then suddenly it's Thursday and you've rewritten the same module four times.
Ah, the classic developer time estimate. Multiply by pi, add a weekend.
Basically. But the good news is I actually learned a few things along the way that I think are worth sharing. Some of it the hard way, obviously.
The hard way is usually the best teacher, unfortunately. My week's been... well, it's been a week, let me put it that way. I've been watching some stuff unfold in the AI space that's got me, let's just say I've got opinions. Strong ones. Multiple ones.
Strong opinions from Tim Williams? I'm shocked.
I know, rare occurrence. But seriously, we've got a lot to get into today. Some of it's exciting, some of it's infuriating, and some of it is just weird. Like genuinely weird. So stick around.
Weird, huh? This ought to be interesting.
All right, so let's start with the weird and infuriating because this one's both. You've been watching the Claude Mythos situation unfold, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. I was glued to X when all this dropped. You've got Anthropic saying their model is too dangerous to release, and then like 3 weeks later, OpenAI just ships GPT 5.5 to everyone with a plus subscription. The speculation was wild.
Here's the timeline, right? April 7th, Anthropic announces Claude Mythos preview, codename Capybara, locked behind Project Glasswing, restricted to like 50 critical infrastructure organizations, declared too dangerous for public release. April 23rd, 16 days later, OpenAI drops GPT 5.5, codenamed Spud, available to all paid ChatGPT tiers. 16 days apart, and one of them is supposedly too dangerous to exist in the world.
Wait, so... let me get this straight. What's the actual gap between them? Like, is Mythos dramatically smarter or is this mostly theater?
So here's the thing. On the five benchmarks where they both reported scores, they're within 3 points of each other on four of them. Browse comp, Mythos 86.9, GPT 5.5 is 84.4. OS World, 79.6 to 78.7. CyberGym, 83.1 to 81.8. Terminal Bench, 82.0 to 82.7. GPT 5.5 actually wins that one barely. These are the same capability tier, full stop.
But there's that one benchmark, right? SWE Bench Pro, where Mythos just smoked it.
Yeah. SWE Bench Pro Mythos hit 77.8%. GPT 5.5 got 58.6%. That's a 19-point gap, genuinely significant. But here's what I find interesting. That's one benchmark. And it's specifically testing long horizon software engineering tasks. It could just be that Anthropic trained better on that distribution, or GPT 5.5's tool use wasn't tuned for that task yet. One outlier doesn't make a fundamentally different intelligence level.
Okay, so you're clearly building towards something. What's your actual theory here? Because you've got that look, the Tim Williams, I've connected two dots look.
Well, here's my take on this, and I'll be honest, I think the too dangerous to release framing is doing a lot of heavy lifting for Anthropic. The real problem, they don't have the compute.
Wait, that's the theory, that it's just a capacity issue?
Consider this. OpenAI has Microsoft's Azure infrastructure behind them. They've been building out inference capacity for years now. They can serve GPT 5.5 to millions of users simultaneously. Anthropic, they've got, what, Amazon as their primary cloud partner, and Amazon's GPUs are largely spoken for by AWS customers. Anthropic simply doesn't have the hardware footprint to serve a model at Mythos's scale to the general public.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense when you lay it out like that. But okay, let me push back just a little. The cybersecurity stuff isn't nothing. This thing found a 27-year-old OpenBSD vulnerability. That's genuinely wild.
No, I'm not saying the capability isn't real. The cybersecurity benchmarks are legitimately scary. 3 out of 10 completions on that AISI attack simulation, GPT 5.5 only managed 2. But here's the thing. When both models are in the same ballpark on nearly every benchmark, the difference between release it to everyone and lock it behind a government gate starts to look less like safety and more like positioning.
I was going to say, it's a pretty convenient narrative. Our model is too powerful for public release also happens to be a fantastic marketing line.
Exactly. And look, I'm not saying Anthropic is being dishonest. I think they genuinely believe in responsible deployment. But when you've got a model that's roughly tied with what your competitor is already shipping, calling yours too dangerous while they call theirs ready for ChatGPT Plus is... it's a choice.
Yeah. And honestly, I'd rather have GPT 5.5 available to me as a developer than have the best model locked in a bunker somewhere. Like, practically speaking, what am I supposed to do with a model I can't access?
That's the moral of the story, right? The model you can actually use beats the model you can't every single time. And I think the real test is going to be when Anthropic's compute catches up. If they suddenly find the capacity, do we hear a different tune about how dangerous Mythos is? I have my suspicions.
Future us will be watching. All right, so that's the weird and infuriating. What else is on the docket?
So the second thing that's been living in my head rent-free, and I'll be honest, this one's more anxiety than annoyance. I'm watching the business model cracks start to show, and I don't think people are paying enough attention.
Oh, yeah. I've been feeling this as a user for months now. The Claude usage limits, they keep getting worse, and I'm paying for the max plan.
See, this is what got me thinking about this. In product management, there's a concept called a painted door test. You put up a button or a feature that looks real, but there's nothing behind it. You're testing whether people want it before you actually build it.
Wait, are you saying Anthropic is running a painted door test on their own customers? That is a take.
I mean, look at the facts. They sell max plans, $100-$200 a month, that promise expanded access, but people are hitting quotas in under 20 minutes of Claude code. The Register reported developers saying single prompts are eating 50% of their session. That's not a capacity problem, that's selling something you can't actually deliver.
I've literally hit the limit in the middle of a debugging session. Not fun. And here's the wild part. The Verge dug into the economics. Anthropic was letting users burn something like $8 in compute for every dollar of subscription revenue, 8 to 1.
And that's the thing. It's not just Anthropic. It's the whole industry. Microsoft was losing over $20 per user per month on GitHub Copilot. Some heavy users were costing $80 a month on a $10 subscription. The entire AI economy has been running on VC-subsidized tokens.
So we're all basically on a metered taxi that's been running with the meter off, and someone's about to flip the switch.
That's a perfect way to put it. And here's where it connects back to what we were just talking about. While Anthropic is compute-starved, selling painted door subscriptions, OpenAI made a very deliberate bet. They specifically trained GPT 5.5 towards software development.
Yeah, they led with it. Agentic coding was the first thing in the announcement. Terminal Bench 2.0, 82.7%, state of the art. That's not an accident.
That's a targeting decision.
Exactly, and here's why it's strategic. Anthropic's been winning the developer market. Claude Code has a massive, engaged user base. It's their strongest moat. So what does OpenAI do? They train GPT 5.5 to be a coding specialist. Terminal agents, DevOps automation, pipeline runners. They're going straight at the one thing Anthropic can least afford to lose.
And the timing is brutal. Anthropic is out there restricting OpenClaw, squeezing quotas, doing damage control on the limits. And OpenAI sitting on Azure with effectively unlimited compute saying, hey developers, we've got capacity and we trained this thing for you. That's a power grab.
And The Verge reported this explicitly. Both companies are racing to IPO by the end of 2026. So every move right now is about showing investors we can own the developer. OpenAI's play is clear. Outcompete Anthropic where Anthropic is strongest, right when Anthropic can barely serve their existing users.
I mean, as a developer, it's kind of great, right? Competition is pushing both of them. But the anxiety part you mentioned, what happens when the subsidies actually end?
That's the trillion-dollar question. Gartner's estimating the industry needs to hit nearly $2 trillion in annual AI revenue by 2029 just to avoid a write-down. $2 trillion. That's not a growth target, that's a survival number, and the math currently doesn't add up. Token consumption would need to grow 50,000 times over. So when the investors get impatient, and they will, the free ride ends.
GitHub's already moving to usage-based pricing in June. It's starting. And wait, you said $2 trillion? $2 trillion a year?
Yeah, I know. It sounds fake. But that's what the analysts are saying. And here's the moral of the story for me. We are living through the most heavily subsidized era of AI that will ever exist. Right now, today, we are getting more compute for less money than we ever will again. Future developers are going to look back at 2024 through 2026 and say, you were paying $20 a month for that?
Wow. Future us will thank present us for hoarding tokens. You got anything else on the list, or was that the big two?
Well, I want to go back to talking about why I think the investors will become tired of the story that the AI companies are giving.
Another conspiracy theory, huh?
Not a conspiracy. It's more like, you ever hear the Arthur C. Clarke quote? Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. That's where most of the world is with AI right now. Investors believe it's magic. CEOs believe it. Basically, everyone with power and influence believes it, but they aren't working with it day to day like we are.
Right. They see the demo, not the debugging session. You truly have to work directly with it to get a feel for the edges. The demos are impressive, but the real day-to-day work is not.
Exactly. And here's the problem. If the target is AGI, these models are not going to get there. I'm not pulling this out of nowhere. The AAAI surveyed 475 AI researchers last year. 76% said scaling up current approaches to reach AGI is unlikely or very unlikely to succeed. That's not me being a skeptic. That's the people building this stuff.
Yeah. And I think from our side, from the practical developer side, you can see exactly why this plays out the way it does. You've got this whole vibe coding thing now. Non-developers using AI to build software, and to them it feels like actual magic. They type a prompt, a whole app appears. They don't know what's happening under the hood. We are seeing project after project like this fail, though. That's the key. Once the rubber hits the road, these apps show their cracks.
That's exactly it. I've been using these models for years now. I've watched them get better and better, but I've never seen one get better than the data it was trained on. When you use an LLM in a domain where you're already an expert, you can see the ceiling. You know where it's interpolating and where it's guessing. But when you use it in a domain you aren't an expert in, it seems magical. And for most of the world, software development is that domain.
Yeah, I see this in the code quality every single day. The models can produce something that looks right, but when you actually read the architecture, the error handling, the edge cases, it's not senior dev quality. It's not even mid-level sometimes. It's a very confident intern who's read every Stack Overflow post ever written.
A very confident intern who's read every Stack Overflow post. I'm stealing that. But that's the gap, right? The normie using AI to build an app, they see the thing working and think, this is incredible. AGI is basically here. Meanwhile, we're looking at the same code going, this is going to fall over in production in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks? You're being generous. But here's what gets me. The investors are betting on the normie's experience, not ours. They see the demo. They believe the magic.
And that's why I think they're going to get tired. Look, I want to be clear. These are extremely useful tools. I'm not saying otherwise. I use them every day. But if the bet you're making is on AGI, on a system that can genuinely reason, adapt to novelty, operate beyond its training distribution, the current architecture doesn't have a path to get there. Francois Cholet, who built Keras, put it really well. LLMs are a memorize, fetch, apply system. They can achieve arbitrary skill levels at known tasks, but they cannot adapt to genuine novelty. That's not reasoning. That's a very sophisticated pattern matcher.
And when the investors figure that out, when the magic trick gets explained, that's when the pullback happens.
That's what keeps me up at night. Because when the capital pulls back, and it will, it's not going to be a soft landing. You've got $600 billion in planned capex. You've got companies burning $8 of compute for every dollar of subscription revenue. You've got valuations predicated on AGI-level returns that the current architecture literally cannot deliver. And the people in power, the investors, the CEOs, the boardrooms, they believe it's magic. They believe because they don't know enough to know what they're looking at.
So the whole thing is built on a knowledge gap. The further you are from the technology, the more magical it seems, and the more you're willing to bet on it. But the people closest to it were the ones going, guys, this is really useful, but it's not what you think it is.
And here's the moral of the story for me. Arthur C. Clarke was right. Sufficiently advanced technology looks like magic. But the corollary is, when the magic fades, the bill comes due. I don't think AI is a bubble in the sense that it's going to disappear. The technology is real, it's useful, it's transformative. But I do think we are in a valuation bubble driven by people who can't tell the difference between a very good tool and actual general intelligence. And when that gap closes, when investors finally spend enough time with these tools to see the ceiling, the correction is going to be painful.
Okay, so that's a pretty bleak picture you just painted. And honestly, I think you're right about the valuation bubble, but it raises a question. If LLMs aren't the path to AGI, where does it actually come from? Like, are the researchers even looking in the right places, or is all the money going to the wrong thing?
That's the right question. And here's what a lot of people don't realize. There are alternatives, plenty of them. The Computing Community Consortium, this is a legit academic heavy consortium, they released a report in July last year laying out six pathways beyond LLMs: neurosymbolic AI, neuromorphic computing, embodied AI, multi-agent systems, human-centered AI, quantum AI, six distinct research directions, any one of which could be the next paradigm. And the report was basically saying, we have got to stop putting all our chips on one number.
Six pathways, and we're funding, what, 1.2 of them? But okay, here's the person I keep coming back to on this, Yann LeCun, Meta's chief AI scientist, Turing Award winner, one of the three godfathers of AI. He's been saying for years that LLMs are a dead end for AGI, like publicly on stage. He literally told a room full of young developers, don't work on LLMs.
That is wild. The chief AI scientist at the company that builds Llama telling people to stop working on the thing his own company sells. But his argument is really compelling. He points out that a four-year-old human has processed more visual data through their optic nerve than the biggest LLMs process through text. A four-year-old 16,000 waking hours, 1 megabyte per second through the eyes, that's the same order of magnitude of data, but it's sensory data about the physical world, not text scraped from the internet.
And that's more of X's paradox, right? We built AI that can pass the bar exam, solve calculus problems, write code, but we can't build a robot that's as good as a cat at navigating the physical world. LeCun's exact line was, where is our domestic robot? Where is a robot that's as good as a cat in the physical world? The cat. That's the benchmark.
The cat benchmark. I love that. But this is the thing, LeCun's team, about 500 people at Meta, they're working on something completely different. Joint Embedding Predictive Architecture, JEPA. It tries to build world models from visual input, not predicting the next token, predicting how the world works. And he expects LLMs as we know them to be largely obsolete within 5 years. This isn't some fringe guy. This is a Turing Award winner with 500 researchers.
So if we know, if the godfathers of AI know that LLMs aren't the path, why is 90%+ of the money still going there? I mean, Zuckerberg himself said he'd rather risk misspending a couple hundred billion than miss the chance at superintelligence. A couple hundred billion as a hedge. Meanwhile, neurosymbolic AI labs are fighting for $10 million grants.
This is the part that actually bothers me the most. The CCC report made this point explicitly. They said it's difficult for researchers to see beyond the current scientific paradigm, for technologists to see beyond the latest technological developments, and for policymakers to see beyond the issues those new technologies raise. We are stuck. The entire field has organized itself around one architecture, and the funding follows the hype, not the science.
And here's the real kicker. Neurosymbolic AI is actually at an inflection point right now. Like, the research is maturing fast. You combine neural networks with symbolic reasoning and you get systems that don't hallucinate, that have auditable reasoning, that can actually explain why they reached a conclusion. The World Economic Forum covered this in December. Real-world outcomes in medicine, drug discovery, high-stakes applications where you can't afford a hallucination. It's working. It's just not getting the money.
This is exactly the dynamic that worries me. We are betting the entire farm, hundreds of billions of dollars, the research agendas of entire universities, the career paths of a generation of PhDs on one horse. And the people who know that horse best, LeCun, the CCC, 76% of AI researchers in the AAAI survey, they're all saying the same thing. This horse isn't going to finish the race. But the investors can't hear that over the sound of the demo.
And when you lay it out like that, it's almost absurd. the thing that actually might get us to AGI, neuro-symbolic systems, embodied AI, world models, those labs are putting together grant applications for crumbs. Meanwhile, the thing that can't get us there, scaling up transformers, gets a blank check. It's not a technology problem, it's an incentives problem.
We have a research ecosystem that is built for incremental improvements on the thing that already works. The incentives, venture capital, quarterly earnings, IPO timelines, they all push toward the safe bet. But the safe bet isn't going to produce AGI. The breakthroughs, the actual paradigm shifts, they're going to come from the underfunded labs, the neglected pathways, the researchers who are willing to say the current thing isn't enough. I just hope there's still money left for them when the LLM bill comes due.
Future us will be watching. All right, so what else is on your list? You've got that Tim Williams glint in your eye.
Actually, I think that's a good place to leave it for today. Because if you zoom out, this whole episode has been about one thing, the gap between what AI looks like from the outside and what it actually is when you're in the trenches every day. Mythos and GPT 5.5, same capability tier, totally different release strategies, and the real story is compute capacity, not safety. The subsidy era ending, we're all riding a free taxi that someone's about to flip the meter on. And the magic problem, the further you are from the code, the more magical it looks, and the more dangerous the investment thesis becomes.
Yeah. And I think the thread that runs through all of it is the people who actually build things with these tools every day, the developers, the engineers, the ones reading the diffs and hitting the rate limits, we see it differently. Not because we're smarter, just because we're closer. The investors see the sizzle reel, we see the merge conflict. And that gap between the demo and the daily reality, that's where all the money is hiding.
That's it. That's the episode. The gap between the demo and the daily reality. Here's the thing. We're not saying AI isn't useful. These tools are genuinely transformative. We use them every day. They make us faster. They catch bugs. They're incredible rubber ducks. But when you mistake a really good rubber duck for a human brain, that's when you bet the farm on the wrong horse, and the bill on that bet is coming due.
Future us will be watching. All right, rubber ducklings, if you enjoyed this episode, do us a favor, share it with a developer friend, or better yet, share it with an investor friend. They might need it more.
Paul's not wrong. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review if you're feeling generous. It actually helps. I'm Tim Williams.
I'm Paul Mason. Thanks for listening. Good luck out there.